they need to be is important in our lives. And so this morning, as we worship, as we praise him, let's remember that he is the one who has made everything. He's allowed us to be able to have a Super Bowl. Some people say, well, God didn't make the Super Bowl. Well, he made the individuals who came up with the idea. And so even as good as that is, that's even still part of God's plan for us that we can enjoy. But it's his goodness and it's his love that we can truly experience today. And I just want us all to enter in. I don't want us to let, what's coming up or what's happened this week stop us from receiving what the Lord wants us to have. Is anybody else with me? I mean, would everyone like to leave here with what God has for you? I believe that he sets a table for us in the presence of our enemies every time we come to him. And as we come to him today, he has a feast for us. He has something for each and every one of us. And so I ask you and encourage you to come with an expectant heart. Come with a mind set on him this morning. Lord, we do. We turn our affections to you, Lord, right now. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what's going on in our lives or in the lives of our family or in the lives, God, of even things going on in the world, that, Lord, that you are the one that we can center and focus on, where we can receive peace, where we can receive comfort, encouragement in those times. And right now, Lord, I just release, Lord, over our hearts, God, by faith, the ability to focus, the ability to turn our eyes upon you. Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who the joy that was set before you, Lord, you endured the cross, you despised the shame, and you're now seated on majesty on high next to the Father. And that we were your joy, Lord. We were your joy. You set your heart on us, God. You set your heart on our restoration. And Lord, we celebrate that restoration today. We celebrate your work of the cross, Lord, that enables us to be part of the family of God again. And I just thank you, Jesus. Would you all stand with me and let's worship.
Give me faith to trust. just what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
I may be weak.
Strong in me, my flesh may fail. My God, you never will. I may be weak. Your spirit's strong in me, my flesh may fail. My God, you never will. My God, you never will.
Give me faith.
Give me faith to trust what you say. That you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I may be weak, your spirit's strong in me, my flesh may fail. My God, you never will. I may be weak, your spirit's strong in me, my flesh may fail. My God, you never will. My God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good. Your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life.
Give you my life. Maybe we.
I may be weak. Your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail. My God, you never will. I may be weak. Your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail. My God, you never will. Strong in me, my flesh may fail, my God.
What can I say?
can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours, yeah. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours, oh, I am is yours, oh, I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all.
This chorus right here, I got a picture in my mind of a criminal that is running from having committed a crime, and he runs straight into a cop, and the cop has pulled his gun and he said, put your hands up. Now what that criminal, his intent was to get away with crime, but the minute that he encountered one that was stronger than him, that had more power than him, he surrendered. And he abandoned his intent. And when we sing this song, I stand with arms high and heart abandoned, we may have an intent of how we see this life going down. But God is saying, will you just surrender? Will you just put your hands up? Not worry about your intent. Take on me. Take on my heart. Because I'm the one, what does it say? In awe of the one who gave it all. I gave it all. And bottom line is, that's the bottom line. So can we do that today as we sing this again? Just abandon your own thought about how you see your relationship with Jesus. This is all personal, guys. This is not about we're in a corporate setting, but this is a one-on-one deal here. He's so great, he can meet each one of us where we are. So could we just sing it one more time and truly surrender our intentions and our thoughts and everything that goes along with what we have in our minds, and just surrender to the one who's more, has more strength and more power than we do. Amen.
So I stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will, could you bring Savannah up and see if she's almost asleep? Savannah has been fighting pneumonia. This is Will. He's come back again. Good to see you, brother. But he's asked for prayer for her, and almost for a month she's been sick, and I know lots of us have had sicknesses, but she has a lot of hard things going on in her heart as well. So we just want to pray for her and just bless her and just ask God to release his healing hand over her, because you know we're people of faith. We have a God who can do the impossible, and we're just going to pray that his strength and restoration comes to Savannah. So would you stretch forth your hand? Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your healing touch, God. And right now, we just come before your throne of grace, Lord. We stand before you right now, Lord. We ask that you would just touch your daughter. God, release your healing power throughout her whole body right now in Jesus' name. God, let this sickness that has been plaguing her just be eradicated right now. Let it be removed from her body. Let life flow. We just declare life over her right now. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that in you is a place of rest and health, Lord. And we just place her in your arms right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you do all things well and that healing is coming to her. Because you are the God of health. As it is in heaven, let it be in her body right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Triumphed over death and
shame. You draw me with loving kindness, washed whiter than snow. You have redeemed me. Whole.
Sing that again.
Grace, you show me grace. You lifted my shame. You draw me with love and kindness. Washed whiter than snow. You have redeemed and made me whole. Oh, Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You've triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Oh, Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Oh, love, you show me love by leaving your throne, by bleeding and dying on the cross, that wonderful cross that took all my guilt and sin away.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise.
Shout it out.
So we shout it out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and he saves. He rescues and saves. So we shout it out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all
instruments, and I love the sound and everything, but sometimes our voices speak louder than instruments, you know that? Sometimes when we have to hear the resonance in our own heart and hear each other's voices, it helps us remember that we're part of a chorus. We're part of a chorus, not just here on earth, but a chorus in heaven that's worshiping God. Now it says in the Word in Revelations that this cry, holy, 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 is heard around the throne 24/7, day and night. Now, I don't know how that affects you, and I can't even comprehend it, that just sound just keeps going. But that's what happens. The elders gather around and they cry, holy, holy, holy. The cherubim, the seraphim, I believe they cry, holy, holy, holy. There is a holy presence and a holiness to God that is meant to be declared in heaven. And I believe today with our voices, as Glenn leads us, let's just, without any instruments, just to sing holy, holy, holy. And for a moment, I want you to set in your heart, set your mind on things above. I want you to leave this place, so to speak, and not just think of yourself standing at the corner of 35th and Tyatin, but that we're actually in heaven, as the Bible says, that we're seated there. We've come to Mount Zion where God is. And we're going to join in with that chorus in heaven and sing holy, holy, holy.
We cry holy, holy, holy. We cry holy, holy, holy. We cry holy. Thank you for everything you're doing for us today, Father God. I thank you for this time of worship, Lord. I thank you that you are healing Savannah, Father God, and you are touching those that are feeling ill in the body, Father God. I pray that your spirit will dwell in this place, Father God, not just right now, Father God, and not this place as a building, Father God, but in this place as a temple, Father God. My heart, our people's heart, Father God, your people's heart, Father God, I pray that you will touch this place, Father God. Won't you touch our spirits, Father God, in a new way? Let us hear from you today, Father God. God, let us experience your word in a new way today, Father God. I pray that when it hits our hearts, Father God, we won't just hear it, Father God, but we will take it in, Father God. We will listen to it, Father God, and we will appropriate it, Father God. Jesus, we just worship you, Father God, and we thank you for everything you're doing, Lord, in your name. Amen and amen. Oh, yeah, and help the Seahawks win. Thanks. Amen. Like he did 2 weeks ago. That, I tell you what, I'm telling you, Russell Wilson is anointed to throw the football or run the football or whatever. Yeah, hey, whatever. They won the game. I don't care how it happened. They won. So I got a couple announcements. First off is next Saturday is 31 Women. Woo, woo. If you've been to 31 Women, raise your hand. Higher. A little higher. Okay, there we go. So, 31 Women is my beautiful wife's outreach program that the Lord put on her heart. And this Saturday, they are meeting at 9 o'clock promptly because they're getting a room at Northtown. And they only have it for 60 minutes. So, it's going to be at 9 o'clock at Northtown in the conference room. There's going to be some fruit trays, a little bit of snacking items. But you'll need to purchase your own coffee for the event, and come and have fun. There's no child care, and the guest speaker from Sunrise
house, which is for trafficked teens here in Yakima, is going to be there, and that's going to kind of be the next. That's where we gave the food to. Correct. It was the Sunrise Outreach, which reaches families in need that don't have a place to stay or whatever. They supply them with food, homeless people and whatnot. But they also there's a house that they have for teen girls that have been trafficked, that have come out of that, to and now that are trying to really reintegrate into society and give them value. And you know, I think that's a great outreach for our women to be able to reach into their lives and not only give them something to a role model to look at, but give them the spiritual aspect that they're searching for as well. The following day, February 8th, we're going to be here again at 10:30 in the morning. And then we're going to be meeting back here at 6:30 or 6? 6 for the Tapping In class. And the Tapping In is basically, it really is what it says. It's tapping in. It's tapping into the things of the Lord. It's tapping into the kingdom. And Pastor Mike is going to be sharing a little more in depth on what the Lord has put on his heart recently and kind of what him and Pastor Josh have been sharing, and you're going to get to hear Pastor Josh speak today, and it's just going to, like I said, it's going to go a little more in depth. Are we going to have childcare? No childcare for it, and so it'll be about an hour, and we're going to come and just get to experience a little bit more in that. Anyhow, with that, if I could have all the kids come up, that would be fantastic. And we will. Matt Hasselback. Yeah, yeah, repping the vintage Seahawks right there, man. What's up, dude? Dude, can we show the whole church your hair? Can you stand up here and show them how cool it is? Here, right here, right here. On this one. One more up. Okay. Now turn that way. Yeah! I wish I looked that cool. It would look really funny if I put that on my head, but he is like the man. Anyhow, so, you guys ready to go downstairs? You guys ready to learn about Jesus? You ready to watch the Super Bowl later? I know you're excited that the Seahawks are playing, aren't you? Rocking that Vic jersey. Dear Jesus, we just pray, Father God, that you will touch these children, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you will anoint them to speak your word, Father God, that they will stand up as warriors in your kingdom, Father God, as prince and princesses, Father God, of the Most High, Lord. We just thank you for them, Father God, and I pray that you will touch their hearts, Father, touch their lives, Lord, and be with them as they go down today and learn about you in your name. Amen. Pastor Josh, would you like that down? Okay. And here's Pastor Josh.
Here he is.
Give it up.
Don't give it up.
Give it up. Clap. Come. Give it up. Give it up. Now the same. Hold on. Now the same thing goes as Pastor Dan tried to teach you guys last week. You got to give a little bit of encouragement when he says something good. You got to cheer him on. Clap. Holler. Jump up. Run up here. Give him a high five. Something. Amen.
Good morning. It works. I agree. Thank you. I am excited to be here this morning. So I'm going to take you on a little journey. I'm just going to basically let you into my world. Some of it. But I'm going to let you into my world, and we will, see where it goes pretty much. That's where I'm at. I don't have my mind made up, and so I really want to allow the Lord to lead me, lead us. And so just open your hearts. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we just open ourselves up to you to receive the truth. You are the truth. You're the way and the life. So we receive you this morning with open hearts. And again, we just take a moment to cast out any doubt, anything that is not of you, anything that has in any way caused us in our minds to be separated from you. We say forgive us, and we set it aside. We wash it in the blood of Christ. We wash ourselves in the blood of Christ. And we're excited, Lord, to allow you to speak. And just we want to have fun this morning, God. We want to hear the truth and the word. We want it to resonate, to sit deep in our hearts, and to produce much fruit. And we want to have a good time doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was reading in Colossians chapter 1, where it talks about being enemies of God in our own mind. Verses 121, and I may or may not go to every verse and chapter. I may just talk about it, and you can look it up or whatever you feel you got to do. But I'm reading in there in 121. Colossians says, New King James, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. And, excuse me, that scripture stuck out to me. Now, just to be fair, I have heard it taught, and I've heard it from others, and so the Lord brought it to my memory one day, and I started looking at it, and I thought, okay, we were enemies in our minds. So what does that mean? We're enemies in our minds. I'm like, Lord, were we really enemies? It was just part of a fig Newton of our imagination, if you will. Wasn't really happening. It's just we had placed in our minds. And then I thought, well, what on earth? How did that happen? What took place? And I went back to Genesis 3. No, I went to Ezekiel 28, where Satan was a high angel, the highest, I believe, of light and of music. And Ezekiel 28, I guess I could read a little bit of it. It's very interesting. It says, you, starting in verse 12, it says, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom, talking about Satan, full of wisdom, a Lucifer at the time, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone, and then it names them, all beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold. They were given to you on the day you were created. I ordained and anointed you, verse 14, as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Your rich commerce led you to violence and you sinned, so I banished you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from the place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. Your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. So I threw you to the ground and exposed you to the curious gaze of kings. And verse 18 is where it's at. And it says, you defiled your sanctuaries with your many sins and your dishonest trade. So I brought fire out from within you and it consumed you. Now that's New Living, I think. I wish I would have read it New King James, but whatever. But in verse 18, he nails what happened because Satan, he traded, because he had a place in heaven with God to where he, a lot of responsibility and I guess a lot of authority. And then He caught a glimpse of something. His eyes, he got a glimpse of a revelation of some sort somehow. I don't stand up here and know it all, but he saw. He got to see something, and what he saw, I believe, was the relationship that man was to have. Once man was created, he saw the relationship that we were to have with God, the authority and the love, everything. The authority, really, I think, is what did it for him, because at that point, when he saw our relationship with God, and then he saw that we would be, I guess, above him, if you will, in authority, he started tripping. That's the Josh translation. He started tripping. He did. He started tripping. He was like, he saw and he wanted it. His heart was lifted in pride. And it says here, he became full. So what did he do? He traded. There's some sort of trade that went on there. Because what he saw, he wanted. He wasn't satisfied with how God created him. And he said, nah, I want to take this over this. This is who God created him to be, and where he would work at his best, the completeness in God. And thank you. It is good. It is good. And the completeness of who he is, who he was made to be, but he looked over here, he saw something else. Who's done that? Right? You have a car and you love it, and then you start seeing another, what's that? Or a cologne. I'm guilty. Or something, it doesn't matter. You're a kid and it's a toy and it's like, yeah, for the first whatever. And then you're like, you're looking around and there's something better, bigger, badder, more, whatever it may be, cuter, prettier, smellier, whatever. Well, that's what he did. He saw, and his heart, his self was lifted up in pride because he wanted, I guess, what he couldn't have. So what did he do? When the time came, he went and offered a trade to Adam and Eve. You guys familiar with this? In Genesis 3, you can look it up. He offered a trade. So and Adam was there the whole time. A lot of times, the woman, and you kind of, the apple, the woman, you hear the jokes. But the truth is, Adam was there. He was very aware. And you can tell that when he starts to shift blame and point fingers when the time comes down to it. But Satan went and then enticed Adam and Eve. And, let's go there because that's good too. Genesis 3. Starting in the beginning, it is New Living. And, so Satan goes down, or wherever it was, or however he approached them, and he asks the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" So the first thing that caught my eye there is he's questioning. Right there, he's questioning God. He's getting them to question God and what God said. And that's always your first red flag. Always. When you start questioning, you know in your heart you got something set you know you're supposed to be doing or not doing. And you start questioning to try to make it fit into the kind of the hole that you want it to go into. Buyer beware. Okay? And verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Also she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Then God comes in. Where are you? I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. God says, who told you you're naked? Have you eaten the tree? She did it. That's what happened. She did it, but we all know she's under his covering. But what took place there is that the serpent, or Satan, got them to question God. And what they did is they set aside who they were, their calling, their very structure, their being, their person. It says, God says that we are made in his image. So the image, I mean, just everything encompassed into this beautiful creation that God breathed into, said, there's something else I want. I just got to have that. And it's outside of what he designed and what he destined. And so they stepped out of that into an artificial, fake, temporary thing. Fix. Good for a minute, but ain't going to last the long haul. And that's what they did. They stepped out of that. I believe they stepped out of eternity and into time and, whatever. Did time begin then? I don't know, however all that works. But I can tell you there's that they traded. And that's really what I'm talking about today is they traded, because something took place that if Paul would say in Colossians that we're enemies in our mind, I'm like, why, Lord, are we enemies in our mind? What happened there? And sure enough, he showed me, he took me down this trail of Ezekiel, and I was very blessed. I think that's so awesome that he's so faithful. And that's just one of, many, many, many things. But he took me down the trail to show me. Satan traded. Adam and Eve traded. I mean, they gave up, I guess they traded their DNA. I mean, that's why, we are in the predicament that we are today, is because, stuff like genes, right? Where you go to the doctor and you find out if you're more prone for this or this, then you've got to do this and this and all that stuff. I mean, we gave up our God DNA, our holy, nature to chew on some niblets of something so temporary and short that it just left us empty. But guess who else traded? That's the answer. Come on. Jesus. Jesus traded. I'm getting exciting. He traded. He did. So he come in and he traded. What did he trade? Everybody here can probably tell me. His life, his blood, his very who he was and get this, Satan tried to get him to trade. Huh? And know what I'm talking about, anybody? Yeah? In the desert? He tried to get him to trade. He tried to pull an Adam and Eve, on Jesus. And Jesus said no. And he said, matter of fact, not just no, but look, this is the truth and this is the reality. This is who I am right here. And it even says it right here, the doubt shall not live off of bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's who I am. That's who I am. I don't have to settle for this little thing over here because that's who I am. And I'm staying that because that's who my Father, whom loves me and whom I love very much, designed me to be, designed me to walk in and save all of us. But that's what's going on. So here's another one. Jacob and Esau and the stew and the birthright. That's the one that the Lord showed me recently that stands out. I mean, the guy gave up his very first blessing, but it's very in the heritage in the Jewish heritage, the firstborn, as Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren, he gave up his birthright, all of the rights that came with being the firstborn. He surrendered him for some stew. Sounds funky and funny and whatever, but he gave it all up for some stew. And I'm going to be very honest. I don't know how it all plays, the whole story in that, as far as, you know, well, he would have died, so what matters? And he actually said that, actually. So, but he gave it up. He gave up his rights as a firstborn for some food. And he despised it. He basically said, it's not worth anything to me. And just like Satan. Yep. So there's a lot of trading going on. And so in my journey, so then I mean, literally, how faithful is God? I literally, like a night or two nights later, or in the midst of all this, I was checking my emails or something, and boom, there is an email on a teaching about trading. And I'm like, okay, I get it, you know, kind of, probably only kind of get it still. But then the Lord just showed me some areas in which we trade. I'm just going to rattle off a few, just so that you know that everything said today is said in love, and it's said because God the Father loves us, and he's restoring us. So we're restored. I guess he's waiting for us to walk it out, you know, completely. Because to say that we're not there yet is true, but it's not. Because as Pastor Mike said earlier, that was great, by the way. Thank you, Lord. Because, you know, to picture yourself, you know, to picture the angels around the throne going holy, holy, holy. You know, every time they're going holy, like, you know, not profane holy either. They're like amazed. They're blown away. And every time they're going around and they're saying it for ever and ever and ever, and they have been and they will be. And I'm like, what? That's a lot of holies. It's because every time they catch a glimpse into the eyes of the Father and his very being, it's like it, holy, you know, it's like a blessing. God bestows a blessing on us, and you're like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. And then it happens like a minute or a day later, however it works out, and it's like you get the goosebumps and the gratefulness all over again, like the last time never happened. Well, they're going around this throne over and over and over, and every time they're seeing a new depth of God, a new part of him that was they've never seen before. And this has happened forever and will happen. Well, it's happened whatever, but it will continue to happen forever. So just a glimpse into how great and big our mighty God is. Well, what a wonderful thing that we are with him in heavenly places, the scripture says. We are a two-part person. Creation. We're a two-part creation. It's hard, I know, to just not focus on just right here, right now. But it benefits us tremendously to have an eternal mindset. One that when you get into scriptures, or when God gives you an understanding, a revelation, a blessing, or whatever it may be, that you can wrap, at least put yourself in there and take it to the next level by just meditating on it, just thanking him, not just letting it settle for that what it seems like here, because what it really is, there's so much more to it. So when we can go, man, I was picturing myself, and I had to use my imagination, which is a blessing. And I was picturing myself, you know, going around the throne and just saying, holy, holy, holy. And you know, my natural mind, I may not be able to picture it exactly how it is. I'm okay with that. But, you know, at least I'm doing it. And just to bring it back into the point is, this is all for love. This is not condemnation. So if something's said, don't kick yourself in the rear, but just know that God brings his love. In every correction, he brings his love. He's loving you. He's not saying, you're done, kicking you and saying, forget it, you messed up, don't even try. He's saying, I love you. This isn't who you're made to be, so come on. You know, it's going to be painful because you got to separate yourself from who you were, who you think you're walking out, you know, right now, who you think you are. You've got to separate yourself from that, which comes with pain and fear and, you know, I guess sometimes torments, because you've got these voices that are called familiar spirits that will just sit there and nag at you. And sometimes we entertain them, and we know we do. And we listen to them, and we allow them to give them room. But so separating from all that is hard. But when you hear things and it hits you, that's good. Let it hit you. But also just say, thank you, Lord. You know, just let him love you. Let him wrap his arms around you, because that's all he's doing. Your fear, your everything that you're experiencing is just, you know, the enemy, the familiar spirits are going to tell you everything, you know, to doubt, to question God, and why you shouldn't do that, much like, you know, like what happened in the garden. So just embrace it and say thank you, Lord, and give it an honest, an honest acknowledgement, and ask the Lord and allow him to walk you through it, what it's going to take, what needs to happen here, okay? And I'll probably give some little bit of insight to what has been successful for me and for others that I know. But trading, it goes like this. This is the definition the Lord gave me. I didn't find this anywhere. I did not read this or hear this. This is exactly what the Lord gave me, and I think it is awesome. It is awesome. I'm going to tell you straight up. It says, anytime you respond to anything, situation, or person in a manner that compromises your true identity in Christ, you're trading on a negative floor. You're trading. So anytime you settle for less, second best, you ever heard the statement, better is always enemy to best, because there's a good, a better and a best. Well, anytime you compromise who you are in Christ, you're trading on a negative. So anytime you allow, you know, anger, unforgiveness, I guess hatred, pride, huh? Come on, I wrote it right here, and it was good. Anytime you give in to fear, anxiety, unforgiveness, anything of those of that nature, hatred, whatever it may be, anytime you give in to that, you're trading, and you are anxiety. You're trading and giving in to the here and now. Well, what if? Oh, what does he say about his yoke and his burden? What does he say about it? It's light, right? So if you're not experiencing that, then you darn better be trying to get with him to know how that you can rest in that. And that seems even for me, like I'm any different than you guys, but it seems like it's a difficult, it's like, are you serious? How do you not worry? How do you not get anxious? How, you know, but anytime we give that a place in our life, we're trading negatively. We're trading and allowing that to be our security instead of the peace and the confidence, the hope of God. Lack of trust, and a lot of times, where does all that come from? You know, again, as I'm learning that it all comes from our experience in specifically childhood. Childhood is when you're formed. Childhood is actually not when you're formed. Childhood is when Satan tries to impose his ways upon you. He tries to change you out of who you were made to be, because the earlier he can do it, the more familiar you get with it, and the more you get used to it, and da 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 da. So there's. Let me give you some examples here of trading. I'm just going to rattle off a few again. They're totally Because God loves me, he loves you, he loves us, and that's the only reason. So if one of these happens, it's not easy stuff. I'm going to be very honest with you. None of this is easy per se, in the way of you hear it, you feel it. And the enemy is going to try a lot of times to really make you feel it. He's going to try to really wear on you, but that's not what's going to happen. Nope, because we've got God, we've got the revelation of God, and we're going to trade on positive. So whenever you rob God to meet your own needs, and he's stealing, cheating, falsifying claims, tax dodging, not working your full hours, etc., whenever you trade the present for the future through sin, which is a lot of the examples that you've heard from me today, whenever you submit to familiar spirits in agreement with their lies about your identity, that's a big one. Pastor Mike and I were talking recently, well, several times, and he said, and I agree, and that is, we trade all the time, whether we realize it or not. Our life is one big trade. It really is. And I noticed I didn't tell you, but I was watching some meetings online, and it seems like, just my evaluation, that the concept and the idea is kind of being really excelled on the earth as far as believers grabbing a hold of this idea and what it means and how it plays out in our lives and how we trade. I've noticed a lot of the different mentoring sessions and stuff that I watch online that are all over, that people are starting to become really curious. God's children are really starting to become curious and aware of this matter. So again, I don't come in here as an expert. I just come in releasing whatever the Lord directs me to. Another ways of trading are on a negative floor. I want you to understand, these are all negative, is when you deceive by half-truths. You gossip for self-promotion or advantage. It goes on and on. Whenever we preach false gospels, whenever you have used a substance to alter your mood, whenever you have used your emotions to get your way, on and on. Those are negative traits, okay? It is important to understand that that's the negative side. What's the positive side? Positive trades are when you trade on God's promises. So the scripture says, what about his promises? Yes and amen. I mean, you see, you have Abraham. If you go through the Bible, you can read all the promises that were given to the different patriarchs and different people in the Bible. But we can trade on that. Maybe he has a promise that he's given you specifically in your own heart. We can trade on that. We can take that and cash that in for what it is, for the true value of what it is. And we can receive that. Because I'm still learning. Do you have an answer for that? Because if you do, I'm game. But if I'm going to trade in, so if I traded on a negative floor, I would settle for the short term and whatever could satisfy my, I guess another way to put the short term is allowing, okay, thank you, Lord. So it's allowing the, trying to use physical, natural things to satisfy a spiritual need. You got that? So using a natural, physical thing to satisfy a spiritual need, a temporary to satisfy an eternal, that's a negative trading. So then a positive trading would be to receive his promises, I believe, to meditate on them, to walk them out, to guard them. So, and I'll let you say something if you want here in a moment. To guard them, because the scripture is very clear about your heart above all else. Remember this one, Celine? Above all else, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issue of life. And what's going on trading is the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the motivation behind trading is always the thoughts and intents of the heart, the center of who you are. So if I want to, so So then I have to focus on who my creator is, my father, and I've got to somehow, and I'm just saying somehow for right now, somehow align myself with him so that we can share thoughts and intents. So that as my prayer is, a lot of times there's no separation in what he wants for me and what I want for me, who he is and I am. I have to completely rest in him. I have to completely, he's got to be my all in all. I mean, completely. I can't just, you know, do the things that have worked. I can't just do the things that seem to be the right things to do. I have to completely enter into him. I have to completely surrender who I am. It's moment by moment, day by day, saying, okay, Lord, here I am. The psalm says, search me, O God, know me. Is there any wicked way in me? You know, allowing him to completely lead me and guide me. You want to add anything?
I'll just say this. Again, I was telling Josh earlier, and I know I relate communion a lot, but communion is an act of trading. When we take the bread that represents his body, you can take it and you can eat it as bread and you can leave it in the natural realm, or you can say, I honor this piece of bread, and instead of it being bread, Lord, I'm saying it's your body. Because you said, if I eat your flesh and drink your blood, I have life. I have eternal life, I have everlasting life. And so you don't keep it in the natural. When you said that you take, you know, spiritual things, or you take earthly things and try to feed a spiritual need, I think positive training is when we take the spiritual, and now what we do is we make it work out in the physical. And so taking that life that's there, and then I'm taking my sicknesses, I'm taking my diseases, I'm taking my even the things that happen with age, and I'm trading those for his life that's in that. And that's just one example. It's like Josh said, it's all through the Bible. And the thing is that why is this so important? Well, it's so important because if we don't realize things that we're doing every single day that is basically taking what God has made us to be and defiling it, then, and we don't know about that, we'll just continue to do the bad thing or the ways that we're used to walking in. And God's trying to change our paths. He's trying to change the way that we think. And he's doing with radical stuff that I've never heard before, but it's all through the word. You know, when Jesus tells the Pharisees, you know, when you fast so that people will see what you're doing, you've got your reward. In other words, he's saying, you already traded for that. You got your reward. That's exactly what they were doing. They were trading for that. When you give so that others will see how much you're giving, you're trading for that. You're not getting anything from me because you now took the reward that I could give you.
You've already cashed in on the reward, so that's what you get.
In the scripture where it talks about the widow that came and only gave two mites, I taught this in children's church just a few weeks ago about how the Pharisees came and they brought all of their leftovers. They traded so that they could put all that money in there, that had a lot of money, and everybody could hear the clang, clang, clang and see them poor, poor, poor. But here she comes, and in a secret way, she puts in two mites. But God, Jesus says she's put in more than anybody else because of the intent of her heart. Her intentions was to trade for the goodness of God, even though that's all she had.
Yep, that's it. Therefore, casting more value on that than no matter how much money anybody else is giving, or the Pharisees, I guess, in that case, are giving, because the value of eternal in opposed to the value of temporary, there's no comparison. There's none. But we do it all the time. We try to cash in with the natural, trying to satisfy the supernatural, or the here and now on this earth, trying to satisfy the long term, you know, spiritual. That's why we get all messed up, you know. We buy into the lies of the enemy, and it just changes things. And that, then so like Pastor Mike is saying, that the importance is that we're called to walk out who we are. In order to do that, it just doesn't come. I thought for so long that if I just do good, do this, you know, read Bible, whatever it may be that was, you know, good, that I'm good. But really there is an outworking that we are responsible for. It just doesn't happen on its own. Where there's things, God gives us revelation and understandings, and like now with trading, like if I just sat on it and did nothing, shame on me. Scripture says that's sin. I'm sinning. I'm doing nothing with it. But we have an outwork, and who we're made to be, it does come. We have to get there. We have to trade to get there, actually. And so it's important, because we give the enemy legal access, basically. If we're, because a lot of times go on, you're like, what's going on in my life, or what's going on in their life, or you see things or experience things, and it's like, why is this happening and how? And, you know, we don't have an idea, but we know Satan's up to no good one way or the other, but we just don't, you know. And so it's important to know who we are and to know how to walk it out. To not walk around blindly hoping things will work out, but to purposely give our ear and our heart to our Lord who made us for such wonderful and glorious things, to do what he's called us to do. So it's important, because, you know, the enemy's crafty. I'm not giving him, any kind of applause or anything like that, but he's crafty, and he's still kill and destroy. There's no truth in him. Father of lies, et cetera, on and on. He's not going to tell you to your face, you know, he has the shiny apple, but that sucker is so rotted inside that he has to make sure there's no puncture wounds on it or nothing, because if there was, most people wouldn't even grab a hold, wouldn't even look at that thing. But that's what he does. He's crafty. And so we need to be up on our game. We need to know who we are and how to be who we are, how to walk it out. Because it's already finished, but yet we have a job here. There's two things going on. There's, you know, the natural and the spiritual. And we're already defined as a certain, you know, as God's child and da-da-da-da-da. But here, we've got to walk it out. We've got a purpose to align ourselves with who we are. but it's good. It's all good news. It's all for the better of us and God's kingdom and our fellowship and the expansion of it and everything else that comes with it. Why don't we stand up together and let's take a moment, I guess, and we just do a little something together. And this is something that you can expand on when you get home, when you're by yourselves and whatnot. So if in fact you are aware of past negative trading, there's a way to handle it. And this is new to me, so we get to learn together. But there's a way to handle it. And if you're not aware, ask the Lord. What's super important to do is to acknowledge it, confess it, renounce it, receive God's judgment for it, knowing that you're under the blood of Christ, so that his judgment itself is not a bad thing, under the blood of Christ, and any agreements you've had with, you know, whatever he's showing you in the way of negative trading, you just... you completely disassociate yourself from it, and then you ask God for the separation, and then you enforce it as enemy tries to pop his ugly head up. You enforce it. So I'm gonna just do a prayer, and you can you can join me out loud in your heart, however you got to do it. But Lord, right now, together as a body, we just ask you, Father, just to show us, just to reveal ways in which we have done negative trading in our past, anything before this moment right now. Holy Spirit, Father God, we ask you to show us. And we just take a quick moment here, just to allow him to share with us a thing or two, or however it may be. So Lord, show us in any way, God, and you need to ask him this in your own heart. This is totally on you if you want to participate or not, but this is an opportunity to kind of open that door and to start. It's just a start. It's a step in the direction that you need to be so that we can expand individually and maybe even as a body as we move on together. So Lord, reveal it to us through thoughts, through sense, however you may do, of negative trading in any way that we have done in the past. Thank you, Lord. Anything that we have done, Lord, that settles on the short term, the responding and feeding our natural self, our emotions, as opposed to settling for the long term, the right decision. So now we take this. Take it. You can grab a hold of it. However you want to do it, you can picture yourself doing it. And Father, we release it to you. And we ask, Father, as we have traded on a negative floor with this thing or these things that you've shown us, Lord, we confess it. We repent. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us and wash us in the blood, Lord, that this would... That we would receive your judgment under the love and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we now just we separate ourselves. We ask you to separate us from these old ways. To separate us from these old ways. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we also say, let there be a mandate from heaven that prevents the enemy from having any say in these matters anymore. Lord, forgive us for agreeing with them and doing them. And now with the mandate, we just, I guess, like a court order, if you will, that we can put them on notice if they try to pop their ugly head up. So be it in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you for your love, the blood of Christ that breaks all strongholds. We thank you for the identity that you have for us and for helping us to walk it out, Lord. We know that we're a finished work. The Bible says it. Maybe our minds do or don't grasp that, but we know that we're walking it out right now today, and that it's you that defines us. You define who we are. So we receive that now in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. You know, that was very, very, you know, it was a big deal. It was a very short little exercise. If you did participate, then what I would suggest is this, that in that matter of whatever it may have been that you just prayed through, that you just dealt with, when or if it decides to try to come back, you just need to stand on who you are in Christ and remind the enemy of the mandate, the decision that you're forgiven and that it's over and it's done. I've done this recently with a specific thing. And to be honest, I found several times that I've had to remind the enemy, basically like a court order. Here you go. You see this? And you need to leave in Jesus' name. And if the enemy didn't respect that, then I would just say, you know, ask the Lord for his judgment to fall on the enemy and on this matter. And I'm going to be honest, through this, I have found so much success. I know it's hard to really get this is like a taste of a ginormous cookie or something, but it's a beginning. That's all I want you to understand, is focus on the positive and understand that this is a beginning, a step in the direction that we're all moving. And, that it will produce so much fruit. So I have to be done. If you do have questions and whatnot, you can't ask me today because we have to leave. I was going to say, come ask me. You can if you want. It's just really quick. But here's what I'd like to do, because the New Life Church needs to be in here in a few minutes. So what I'd like to do is, if everybody could look around them and grab any garbage, whether it's yours or not, grab it, throw it away, pick anything up, and then we need to head on out of here so that they can have their service. They've requested that we be out by a certain time. So love you guys. We're going to move on out of here.